Well, Paul Whelan has been talking. 5 years ago today, he was seized at a friend's wedding in Russia, tried, imprisoned on what he and the U.S. government adamantly say are false charges of espionage. But in the past 8 days, he's made surprise phone calls from prison to CNN and here WTOP Radio in Washington, saying essentially,
I feel alone. I feel that I've been left behind.
Paul Whelan went on to say, President Biden is the guy that made the decision to leave me behind twice, meaning the U.S. negotiated for the release of basketball star Brittany Griner and former Marine Trevor Reed, while Paul Whelan remains in a penal colony. He talked about pets and people who've died while he's been held, worried that his aging parents would soon be gone. Last month, he was attacked by another prisoner, though his brother says he wasn't seriously hurt. And on this fifth anniversary, Paul's twin brother, David Whelan, joins us. David, first, what did you think when you heard the Christmas Eve calls? Did you know they were coming?
I didn't, although Paul has done what he can to reach out to media directly. He knows that it has an impact. He knows that it will get the attention of the U.S. government and perhaps the Russian government as well.
Could he have made that call without the Russian government somehow controlling it?
It's really hard to know. Most of his phone calls, he's allowed daily phone calls to our parents, are through a prison system. And so those are monitored by prison guards and so on. I don't think that that's the system that he's using. I think he may be using an illicit or unauthorized phone in the prison. So I'm not sure that the Kremlin really is aware of or able to anticipate when Paul is making those calls.
Huh. Well, several times, as you know, he addressed President Biden.
Mr. President, you promised to bring me home. I'm still here. There has to be more that you can do to secure my release.
David, I'm hearing you say that you're not even sure the Russian government is involved. I heard that, and my first thought was, oh, he's being put up to say this. Because as recently as last August, you told NPR that he knew that his cause wasn't forgotten. And then in May, before that, your brother told CNN, I remain positive and confident on a daily basis. The wheels are turning. So what did you hear when you heard something like that coming from your brother, like a direct, almost condemnation of the president and the U.S. government?
Paul's morale has been declining for much of this year. And so I am not surprised at all that he is frustrated with the U.S. government and what he perceives to be their inability to make concessions to the Russian government and bring him home. I think, you know, being assaulted at the end of November and he is being shaken down right now for protection money in the prison, all of this contributes to his feeling, I think, of really having to fight all the battles by himself.
And how is he doing? Because I think at the time when he was punched in the prison, I think you said his glasses were broken. I mean, you can't live without your glasses. So how's he doing?
I really don't think he's doing well. I think his morale is very low. He is concerned about retaliation. We've had to make another complaint to the prosecutor of Mordovia to investigate retaliation by the deputy warden. They've tried to move him into a barracks where the other prisoners are engaged in illicit activity like drinking, like using unauthorized cell phones, things like that, which we think is an attempt to entrap Paul so that he either gets solitary confinement or he gets some sort of other punishment or he's persuaded to pay this protection money. So I think he's in a really difficult space. And unfortunately, he has very few outlets to vent about that.
And there's a war going on.
And I think that that has had an impact on Paul's living conditions. We've heard stories over the last year, especially of the quantity of food served to the prisoners has gotten smaller. The variety of food, you know, fresh fruits and vegetables are no longer part of their diet. Those sorts of things have obviously been an impact from the war. As Russia, the nation, deteriorates internally, all of those things are felt inside the prisons as well.
Oh, boy, it's so tough. You found out through the media Paul was dishonorably discharged from the Marines because of a minor larceny charge. Although his supporters seize on that to illustrate that he wouldn't have been drafted into a spy agency. Then there's all sorts of claims on Wikipedia on top of it all.
Yeah,
you know?
I have spent hours arguing with the people. You can see on the talk page how I've, you know, had to complain about defamation. And I worry about what happens to Paul when he gets home. And frankly, what happens to a lot of people who are in this situation. They've lost their jobs. Their bank accounts may have been closed. You know, their credit may have been ruined. Their taxes are behind. And somehow they've got to rebuild this, but all of this has happened out in the public. And how do you help them to rehabilitate their lives, which have completely been torn apart? Yeah, I don't know how Paul's going to do it when it happens.
But I'm wondering what that's like to have your brother thrust into this spotlight and this questioning.
It's very difficult, I think, in part because as the family, you are, people always ask, you know, did the government tell you this or did you find out that? And often we are finding out as soon as it hits the media, as soon as the news talks about it, or as soon as it's mentioned in a White House briefing. So it's very difficult to navigate.
And, you know, it might be a question on people's minds. Do you know for absolute sure your brother was not a spy?
I don't believe anything is 100%, but I'm very confident that Paul was not a spy. Whether you look at his the way he was separated from the Marine Corps, I think he's a very unlikely candidate for any sort of government work.
You know, I have a hard enough time if one of my siblings is just having a bad day. How do you and your brother Andrew and your sister Elizabeth and your parents, how do you go about your life with a brother in a penal colony?
It's a very different life from what I would have expected back in December 27th, 2018. I mean, I start every day reading Russian media to see if anything has happened that might impact Paul's case. All of us are engaged in daily activities to help Paul. I mean, my parents are sitting at a phone every day waiting for Paul to call. I mean, it's that sort of thing where it becomes almost a parallel life because you're still trying to be with your partner, be present with your family, your kids, you know, do the things that make you find happiness and joy. But you've got this other thing that's always going on that you're always worrying about.
Well, and what will you do on this fifth anniversary?
There have been so many milestones now. I don't really take notice anymore because none of them make any difference. The issue or the difficulty really with these sorts of things, with hostage takings and wrongful detentions, is that you're nowhere until it's over. And so it's not like you are progressing towards something that a milestone means that you're closer to anything. As far as I'm concerned, we're as far away from Paul being home as we were on December 28th, 2018. So you don't really take stock of 5 years because you can't. I mean, we've got another 11 years to go. And so if you feel like the milestone is something that you're going to get wrapped up around, you really just need to focus on the next day and the next day and the next day. And hopefully one of those days, Paul will come home.
David Whelan, twin brother of Paul Whelan, who is being held in a penal colony in Mordovia in Russia. It's been 5 years. The anniversary is today. David, we wish you and your family the best.
Thanks so much for having me.